This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, December 7, 2022, the Vigil Mass of the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, by Father William Doc Holliday.
He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and unspotted in His sight. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God has from all eternity had a plan for us. He has a plan for us, but we are involved in it. His plan is perfect, is eternal, but we don't fulfill our part of the bargain. This is what God has to deal with. But being God, He deals with it. A lot of people sit back and go, well, God did it in His plan. Did He plan for Adam and Eve to fall? No. God is not the author of evil. He does not conscience evil. They did that on their own, having free will. But God, as I said, has a plan, and it will not be thwarted because He's God. This sets the stage for the Immaculate Conception. Again, the fall and the consequences needed to be fixed. God is God. With Him, nothing is impossible, as we read in the Gospel today, and He fixed it, and He continues to fix it. One of the first things we have to understand is, though, the consequences of sin. Sin has objective and definite consequences for us. The first reading today from Genesis chapter 3, the whole fall story. Again, interesting lectionary. Genesis 3, chapter 3, verses 9 through 15, and then verse 20. Okay, what's going on from verses 16 through 19? Okay, we get the story of the fall. We get God cursing the serpent. And then verse 20, we're sort of got this light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing. What is in verses 16 through 19? The objective consequences, our consequences of the fall. All those good things like you will till the ground and it will not produce by the sweat of your brow, you will get, and the ground will not produce. It will produce thorns and thistles. Women, you will bear children in pain and anguish. Those kind of things. They are objective consequences to sin. And it is truly unfortunate that in our times, we don't like to hear about objective consequences of sin. We'll have none of that. Talk about, yeah, the fall was bad, and yeah, the devil got cursed, but then God's going to do something about it. Yes, He is going to do something about it, but we must deal with the consequences of our sins. We live in a time when priests speak of sin, and all of a sudden they're not allowed to publicly preach anymore because they've confronted people with sin. Lectionary, not talk about the objective consequences of sin. The objective consequences of sin are what God has to deal with in His plan. The ultimate consequence of sin, you know, we got all these objective consequences, but at the end, the ultimate consequence is the inability for us to completely assent to God's will. It doesn't matter how holy you are. Doesn't matter how many rosaries you say. Doesn't matter how traditional the parish you go to is. Latin, math, whatever. It doesn't have anything to do with that. We do not have in our capacity in this world, because of our fallen nature, to assent to God's will due to the bondage of our fallen nature to sin. That proneness to sin. We have to deal with that. God has to deal with it. And He has dealt with it. He's dealt with us in the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There's a reason for it. The consequences of sin, as I said, are the inability to completely assent to God's word. Well, the Catechism of the Catholic Church speaks of the Immaculate Conception as In order for Mary to give the free assent of her faith to the annunciation of her vocation, it was necessary that she was wholly born by God's grace. Wholly born, B-O-R-N-E, wholly carried by God's grace. That doesn't happen for any of us. We receive God's graces over a period of time to a lesser or greater extent in the way we deal with them and the way we apply them to our lives. But in the Blessed Virgin Mary's case, she was, by a singular privilege, kept from original sin at the point of her conception. And the necessity of that was for her to give her free assent to the vocation that the Archangel Gabriel spoke to her. This is something that people talk about the Immaculate Conception, and they'll talk a little bit about it, but the rationale for it, and it's not simply that sin wasn't passed on to our Lord. It's part of it, but it's not the whole thing. The whole thing is that she was kept for, because God wanted her to be able to assent completely to his will, hence her fiat. Be it unto me according to thy word. I mean, we make those promises. People made them for us at our baptism. If we were baptized as adults, we made those promises to God. And we, to a lesser or greater extent, most of us lesser extent, keep those promises that we make. That's why we have the confessional. We have a difficulty keeping the promises that we make at our baptism and at our confirmation. The Blessed Virgin Mary had no problem like that, because by that singular act of grace, she was kept free from original sin to corrupt her, and she kept herself free under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and because she was able to wholly assent, because no corruption of sin was found in her from the point of her conception, she was able to give her free and complete assent. This is why she could personally remain stain-free from not just original sin, but why she kept herself sinless for the rest of her life. She was able to do it by God's grace, just as we all are also. This is the reason for the Immaculate Conception. It is because the first reading, we don't ever want to miss that part, the whole verses 16 through 19, there are objective consequences of sin. They are pervasive throughout the human race because of our first parents, and God fixed it very early on when it came to the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is that plan that he had. The plan is going to be fulfilled, and he will do his God thing throughout the times when we are confronted by our own weaknesses and our own frailties and our own inability and sometimes our own apostasy. People that just turn their back from God. He tries to deal with that, but he's never going to take away our free will, ever. So we need to engage in God's plan and understand how he's worked in others, particularly this night, the Blessed Virgin Mary, because the Father has always had that plan for our eternal salvation in his mind. No matter how bad we try to mess it up, if we mess it up by sin, we go to the confessional. But we have an example of the Blessed Virgin Mary that is the exemplar for what can be, what is her Immaculate Conception. That second reading day from the book of Ephesians, God's purpose for us in Jesus Christ is to be holy and unspotted in his sight. This is his demand on us, to be holy and unspotted in his sight. We can't do it. She could. We have to, again, slowly cooperate with the graces that he gives us, and she did not have to worry about that. She received all graces from the time that she was conceived. Again, a verse that was left out of the second reading. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, this was done to reestablish all things in Christ that are in heaven and in earth. For us, we think, well, why would they leave that out? Well, because it's not really palatable with this presentation. There's many different ways to approach heaven. There are many different pathways and all this kind of stuff, right? We hear that from a lot of different places. But the Holy Spirit says in the dispensation of fullness of times that God reestablished all things in Christ in heaven and on earth. That kind of presentation negates any other way, right? To reestablish everything in heaven and on earth in Christ Jesus. No one else. No other prophet, not in keeping the law, none of that stuff. In Christ Jesus. The Catechism again, citing this passage, citing Ephesians chapter 1, the Catechism says the Father blessed Mary more than any other created person in Christ with every spiritual blessing. We get a lot of spiritual blessings. We waste most of them. She got all of the spiritual blessings at her point of her conception. Hence, this is why she was able to do what she did. But she did what she did to honor Christ and fulfill God's plan. And again, we still have free will, and we can choose to not have faith in that plan. But nonetheless, that is the plan. Her son, Jesus Christ, being reestablished in relation with him, everything in heaven and on earth. This is the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception, one commentator says this, the Immaculate Conception is the supreme example of what God's grace can do in a mere human creature. Because remember, the Blessed Mother, immaculately conceived, yes, but absolutely a creature. You don't have the excuse of looking at her and going, oh, but she's God, like we can with Jesus. Jesus did this, Jesus did that. You need to be examined. Well, he's God. He could do that kind of stuff. She wasn't. She was a creature, just like us, born of parents, but kept free from original sin to be the supreme example of what God can do. Not about her, but what God can do in a mere human creature. Again, the quote, she helps us clear to see that the gospel of salvation is about undoing the effects of the fall. And she helps us to understand that not only did Jesus live without sin, but also through God's grace in the resurrection, we too can completely be free of sin. And we will be completely free of sin if we, in faith and obedience, embrace this one Lord Jesus Christ who came to us through the Immaculate One. So Immaculate Conception is an example for us of that whole, with God, nothing is impossible. God can't make someone free from original sin. He saves even each and every one of us from original sin at our baptism. That's somewhat miraculous. He continues to shower graces upon us, whether we cooperate with them or not. He continues to shower them upon us. He gives us the confession where we can be absolved from our sins and receive sacramental graces to withstand temptation that brought us in there in the first place. He does all these things. She is the pinnacle example of what God can do. She is the ultimate example of being completely free from sin, just like Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless life. He's God. She lived a sinless life. She's not. She's our example. The Blessed Virgin Mary is created without sin to be a living sign for us, a sign of righteousness and the life of a new creation. The Blessed Virgin Mary was just like each and every one of us, but at the point of her conception, she was made the new creation. That whole John being born again, St. James, firstborn of creation, all those things, that emphasis on being a new creature in Christ Jesus. We are a new creature from the time we're baptized, but that newness continues to grow. This is what the Blessed Virgin Mary proves to us, or I should say what God proves to us through the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is the necessity of this whole thing. It undoes the consequences of sin. But again, harking back to that, we have to understand that there are consequences of sin. Yes, it's real. You have to know what they are, and you have to know the consequences of those sins. But once we know that, as opposed to being fretful about it, what should we do? We should pray a lot. We should cooperate with the graces we receive, but we should look to the Blessed Virgin Mary as the one as our primary example. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.